WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhart stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Welcome back, NHRA fans. That's right, if you're an NHRA fan, you've got something to listen to between Christmas and New Year. Who does that? Some of you are listening even after New Year. For you people, happy 2015, happy New Year to all our WFO Radio listeners out there. Thank you very much for checking in on the program. We're doing some entertainment for you in between the big holidays, and we have got a blockbuster guest. That's right, Courtney Force is going to be on the show just minutes from now. Lots to talk about with Courtney. Top five in the world, finished fourth in points in Mellow Yellow Series Funny Car category. Just trending upwards as a driver. Going to talk about that extra level of intensity. And, oh, by the way, got engaged not long ago. She and Graham Rahal going to get married. We're going to talk about all of that. You're a fan of Courtney Force. Stick around. She is just minutes away. Going to pick up the phone line and speak with Courtney. If you're a fan of Courtney, well, tweet, retweet, repeat. WFO Radio has got something for you. But we start every show off the same way with the voice of the NHRA, who broke through last week and fired the Mustang up right here on the air, Alan Reinhart. Alan, happy New Year to you, sir.
Joe, happy New Year to you as well. Looking forward to 2015.
I am looking forward to 2015 in a big way. Every New Year, I guess everybody kind of reflects on the previous year. And I really enjoyed the heck out of 2014. I feel like it was a pretty good year, thinking back. There have been good years and bad years and great years and average years. 2014, I thought, was a really positive one.
Yeah, it was. I think it was pretty strong, you know, all the way around. We had some great racing. We had some tremendous moments. No real on-track tragedies, which is certainly a big plus. It was a fun year to be a race fan. There was just wild stuff going on, seemed like, every week.
Yes, absolutely. And the Mustang is running. How about that? I got a lot of great feedback on that segment of the show. You running over, firing up the car, letting it run for a while, and then clicking it off and coming back. A lot of fun, positive feedback on that milestone.
Yeah, it was nice to be able to fire it up at the Christmas party, even though it really wasn't in a position to take it around the block. But it's still making progress. It's still got a little bit of ways to go, but, you know, making obviously some major modifications. So if I keep telling myself, you know, you could have bought a crate motor and been driving this thing for the last 3 years, but what fun would that be? So I'm looking forward to the day when I can take it out and put it on the road and it'll be like it used to be, where it would just be sitting there ready to turn the key and go. Still got a ways to go, but it's a labor of love. I've had the car since I was 17 years old. So
there you go. How'd the Christmas party go? I saw some tweets go out, photographs of the scotch spread that happens at Wild West. That is pretty impressive stuff. Looked fun.
Yeah, it went very well. It was very well attended, not record-setting, but certainly not bad. And just lots of friendly conversation, lots of catch-up stuff. One of the real highlights, I think, was a couple of buddies of mine from way, way back in the day. I mean, we're talking high school days, that hadn't seen each other in forever. And both were at the party at the same time and had an opportunity to catch up. And, you know, it's always interesting when you say, well, let's see, when's the last time I saw you? It was 1980-something. What? And I say that was one of the highlights. And, you know, some old friends came by, of course. You know, Rudy from UPS stopped by, as he always does, and came bearing gifts, even though I keep asking him not to. But, no, it was a tremendous success. Just a great day.
Not other people's gifts, right?
No, it was an addition to
Oh, okay. He is a UPS guy. He does have access to that stuff.
Yeah, you know, and I keep telling people, I'm very grateful that, you know, for, well, gee, I didn't want to come empty-handed. I wanted to bring something. But the shelf is getting full to the point that I really need to delete some inventory, not add. So hopefully next year, maybe I can get everybody to, you know, back off on that and, you know, whatever, make a donation to draw or Racers for Christ or somebody.
Well, listen, if you have, you know, long-term plans to do this, it's just like the oil prices, right? You have a glut of product. You got to, you know, carve into it for a couple of years, and the glut will go down, and then new inventory can come in. Supply and demand.
There you go.
We need more demand.
That's a good problem to have.
It is a good problem to have.
Yeah, one of the real issues is my buddy Martin, who travels the globe. He makes my schedule look like I'm running back and forth to 7-Eleven every week. And he has always got his eye out. He's the guy that brought me one from Japan a couple of years ago and some local German thing a couple of years ago. And so when he runs into some of these exotic bottles, he's always going to grab one. And so he's continuously adding to the mix, and that's not a bad thing. But I just need to – I don't want to have to build a bigger shelf to store it all.
There you go. You've got enough construction projects and car projects going on as we speak. All right, Alan, we're going to talk some racing here. And we've got Courtney on the show, so let's start off right there. You've watched this young lady come along as a human being from the time she was a child, but as a racer more recently. 2014, winning the milestone of the 100th win for a woman, going out there winning more races than any other woman in Funny Car in a single season, finishing fourth in the points standings. How far along is she in her learning curve?
Well, I think she's there. You know, we all knew going in that she was going to be the real deal. And I mean no disrespect whatsoever to either Ashley or Brittany, but Courtney was always the one that had the burning desire, had the competitive fire, had it even stronger than her sisters. And, you know, I think everybody knew that that was where she was going to end up, that she was going to be a real force to be reckoned with. And she's fulfilled, I think, everybody's expectations. You know, she's got good car control, does a good job on the starting line, doesn't get intimidated, and she's the real deal. So a solid season for her, and I expect her to be a championship contender for years to come.
It's going to be interesting to hear what she says about the whole nuptial with Graham Rahal, of course. Graham, who has kind of come out and become a fixture at NHRA races, which is something I really appreciate, that he comes out and gets it and likes it, wants to be there. But there's still some things up in the air with John Force Racing. We still don't know what the manufacturer is going to be at this moment. But that could change in the next moment, but as of this moment, we do not know.
Well, John, I think he's been around this game long enough that you've got to be very careful about making announcements and doing things until you really are ready. Joe, you've followed the sport long enough. How many times you talk to somebody, it's like, oh, yeah, hey, I got WFO Radio on board. It's a done deal. It's going to be the coolest thing ever. We got this 10-year contract for $10 billion. You know, all we're doing is dotting the I's and crossing the T's, but this is really going to be something. And then something comes up, whether it's a legal something, whether it's a personal something, and it just doesn't happen. And, you know, nobody wants to be in that position. John's been around long enough to know that as much as you know that he wants to make the announcement, they've mentioned a couple of times, hey, we're going to try to do it by this date. We're hoping to do it by this date. But he just doesn't have it all locked down and in place yet. I'd rather wait and get the real straight scoop than, you know, well, here's what we're working on, here's what we're hoping, and then have something fall through. So I got a lot of faith in the guy that won as many races and championships as John, knows what he's doing, and we'll just let him decide when the time is right.
I agree with that, but at some point, just in terms of like what we're thinking about, is it safe to say that if they, let's pretend, just as total fictitious speculation, folks, that they are going to switch to a new manufacturer that is not currently in the sport, like if that is going to happen as one of the options of things, they would have to know who it is now to be ready for the Winter Nationals, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, to get bodies designed, to get them approved, to get them built, I wouldn't think you'd dream about taking one out to the racetrack before you put it in the wind tunnel. You know, all of that stuff is going to take time. Now, and since we're purely speculating, it may be a situation where some of that stuff is in the works, and they may make the announcement that, hey, we're going to go with XYZ we now are in development with this stuff, and it'll hit the track soon, but they'll come out with, you know, the stuff that they've had on for the last couple of years until they've got the new one up and ready to go. I honestly don't know, and that's just, again, pure 100% speculation. John, again, has been in this business a long time. I know that I bumped into Tim Wilkerson at the PRI show, and we were chit-chatting a little bit. He is going to remain with Ford just because that's what he has. If, you know, something came along that was a good incentive for him to switch manufacturers, he would certainly, I believe, take a look at it. But in the meantime, he's got an inventory of this stuff. He's, you know, comfortable with it. He's run it. He knows what to expect from it. And I told him, I said, well, just think about this. I said, if John switches to XYZ, he's going to have a bunch of those Mustang bodies that he'll sell for probably $10 a piece. And Tim said, for $10 a piece, I'll take every darn one of them. So, we're all going to find out soon enough. We've still got, 60 days or 55 days or something before we get to Pomona. So let him put it together, and then when he's ready to tell us, he'll tell us.
Absolutely. And at the end of it, I know it's the nature of everything to want to know now, to want to know yesterday, and to have it ready, whatever it is, by the Winter Nationals, but that's not the case. But, you know, if John goes on to win championships at the end of the year with whoever it is, or the following year, these weeks or days are not going to mean very much at the end of that period. So it'll be interesting.
Everybody's kind of getting used to the fact that, you know, with the Internet, I want to know now, I want to know now, I want to know now. And, you know, some of the chat room stuff and some of the things that I still monitor a little bit from time to time, I think it's a riot that people are like, you know, well, he promised to tell us this, and I'm thinking to myself, is it really affecting your life that much? I mean, it has no effect on me whatsoever. And how can you get that worked up over something that, does it really affect you? You know, if you're the guy that's making the bodies, that's selling him the stuff, then, yeah, okay, I'd want to know. You know, and, you know, maybe you've got investments going, or you've got to, you know, you've got to buy new equipment, new material, new whatever. Hey, you know, I need to know this stuff. But for the average fan, and love the fans, but does it really affect your life that much? I mean, you know, sit tight. The word's going to come down when it does. What are you getting worked up for? It'll happen when it happens.
Totally agree 100%. Some other news that came out just as we were completing the show last week, like right in the final segment, I got it in under the wire. I don't believe we got to speak about it, though, was that the announcement, and I saw the report on Competition Plus, but I saw it in a couple other places, that Drew Skillman is going to be running Pro Stock races next year with Elite Motorsports as a teammate to the reigning Mellow Yellow champion, Erica Ender Stevens, maybe 15 races. That's kind of an interesting situation.
Yeah, that's been in discussion for a while. You know, they obviously weren't ready to make an announcement until they made an announcement, but that's, you know, it's been fairly well known that Drew was looking to move up and go that direction at some point, just as far as, you know, when and how soon. The thing that surprised me about that was the 12 to 15 races thing, because I would have thought maybe he comes out for 4 or 5, save your rookie status, and then come back and make a real run at it in 2016 if you decide that's the direction you're going to go. But, you know, who knows? If they come out the beginning of the year, run a couple of 3 races and have some success, they might decide that we're here for the duration, you know, kind of like Vincent Nobile did a couple of years ago when they originally said, hey, we're going to go out there, we're going to run 12, 14 races. They came out, they were competitive, they were strong, they were obvious contenders every week, and made the commitment on the fly that, all right, we're not stopping. Let's go. Which, you know, on to the next one, and obviously they've been perennial contenders ever since. So it'll be fun to watch. I don't think there's anybody out there that doesn't believe that Drew is going to be very capable of handling the car and do a good job in the car. You know, you just look at what he's done coming this far, and the only thing that's going to change is his ETs are going to get a little bit faster, and once he gets used to that, then he's going to be a definite handful in Pro Stock, especially with Elite Power under the hood.
I'm thinking that immediately, just the potential for this kid to ascend right to the highest levels after gaining some experience, but with all the Lucas Oil Series experience and with these stock and super stock cars, clearly they have financial resources to field many cars in the Lucas Oil Series. Maybe Drew Skillman is a name that we're gonna be seeing for years to come.
I'd say that's a real possibility. You know, their family obviously is very heavily involved. When you're in, they're in the car business, for anybody that doesn't know. Just Google, I think it's Ray Skillman Auto Group, and it'll come up, you know, 78 blocks worth of cars in Indiana. They deal with just about everybody. And so that'll be, you know, another good player to have in, another guy that has direct contact with the factories and deals in enough volume that, you know, hopefully, if there's questions about this, that, or the other, he'll be a guy that can go and say, hey, look, this is something that needs to be done. You know, it's always nice to have people that are at that level of success in business seeing drag racing as a worthwhile investment and hopefully passing that on to others.
Absolutely. Racer of the Year voting ongoing. The magazine Racer of the Year vote, NHRA.com, has that up. Everyone can go and vote for their favorite drag racer. Now, Alan, I asked you last week to consider just some big moments from 2014, things that went down that stick out in your mind. Obviously, my first thoughts go to the countdown. I think about that final round and the Texas Motorplex, where John Force and Matt Hagen are running the rain-postponed race from previously, where John goes red. And to me, that was a pivotal moment in the championship. Afterwards, John was very, very hard on himself. He was very overtly angry about having changed his routine, and it turned out, at the end of it, Hagen wins the title by not very much. That was a very critical moment. Anything stand out in your mind immediately off the top of your head that was a critical moment, something to reflect on in 2014?
You know, there were a lot of different things. You know, some of them, you know, at the time are epic moments, and some of them maybe you don't. You know, you look at Tony Schumacher's weekend in Dallas, where he won the rain-delayed Charlotte race and then won the Dallas race, and that really put him over the top in the championship. You know, at that point, pretty much everybody else was running for second. One of them that National Dragster picked up on in the sportsman ranks, Luke Bogacki and Trevor Larson going head-to-head in Chicago. Nobody knew it at the time, but that was huge in the championship when they all started counting points at the end of the year. And, you know, Luke ends up being the champion there. That's one of the beauties of it, is you just never know. There was a National Dragster column I did a couple of years ago about, you know, you don't know how big this is until later in the year when you look back and reflect and go, boy, you know, if that round in Denver had gone the other way, that could have had a monumental effect on how the season went. And that's why you just watch them time after time. You know, I don't think any of my moments are going to come as a real shock to anybody. Morgan Lucas entering seven races and winning two. What, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
How can you possibly do that with a top fuel team? The pro stock thing from top to bottom, from Jimmy Allen winning the four wide, which was spectacular, to the double perfect reaction times between Jonathan and Erica in Pomona in the semifinals. Never happened before in the pro ranks in the history of NHRA. You know, the one run for the championship final round was spectacular. Of course, Erica and Jason ran just the week before that in Vegas, going head-to-head, and that round was just as big. If Jason wins that round, well, then all of a sudden Pomona has a little bit of a different look to it, and who knows how it turns out. So there were just so many of those moments. You know, you look at Pro Stock Motorcycle, and you could go from the Harley domination, which was unbelievable, but what I thought was a bigger shock, you know, I think everybody expected the Harleys to come back on track. I don't know if they expected them to dominate that hard. But if I had told you at the beginning of the season that Matt Smith would not win a race, I mean, are you kidding me?
I would never have guessed it.
And that was just one of the, you know, certainly not going to be a highlight in Matt's career. But when you look back, how can a guy that's that strong, that has had so much success, you know, even with the domination of the Harleys, obviously there was, you know, some other bikes that ran well. Hector Jr. ran very well. You know, Steve Johnson picked up the first one of the year. I was stunned that Jerry Savoie didn't win another one after he won his first one, because that, you know, kind of pushed him over the edge and proved to the team that, hey, we're good enough to do this. We've got the ingredients in place, but I think he's going to be a player going forward. But that Matt Smith would not win a race all year, you could have got some really long odds there. And I think that was, you know, a moment in 2014. The 1/10,000th of a second funny car race in Pomona. I mean, you know, what, you're kidding me, right?
Yeah.
And just time after time, that's why people keep coming to the races. That's why people keep buying tickets to watch, because you just never know what you're going to see and where it's going to be, and the importance of things to, you know, when you look at it down the road.
Tremendous year, 2014, coming to a close. Many listeners in 2015 already thinking about the Alexis DeJoria winning the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals in such grand fashion. Just a great year. And you know what the best part is, Alan? We get to try to top it not long from now.
Oh yeah, and I'm really looking forward to it. You mentioned Alexis DeJoy. I mean, that was another. She was part of a couple of classic quads. You mentioned Indy. All four Indy winners had never won the Chevrolet Performance U.S. National before. When's the last time that happened? Trust me, it's been a while. I remember, I believe the stat guy looked it up, but it's been a while. You know, you look at Richie Crampton, obviously he's a rookie. He hasn't won it before. Okay, Alexis. You know, Shane Gray, I don't believe would have been the favorite going into the event. And Eddie Krawick, who certainly was not an underdog, but had never won it before. So all four of those guys getting to hoist the trophy was pretty special. And the other thing is Coletta Motorsports. All four of their race cars in the winner's circle, and I believe that's the first time that's ever happened. You know, over the course of the season, Alexis had just a tremendous year. Dell, not quite as good, but did break through for that big win in Vegas when he punched out both John and Matt Hagen on the way to the winner's circle. Who saw that coming? You know, Doug Coletta had just such a tremendous season, and then J.R. Todd jumping in the fourth car and closing the deal up in Denver. I think confidence is riding high in the Michigan shop, even though the countdown didn't go the way they wanted it to. I think that those guys are going to be real players again in 2015, and just looking forward to it. There's so much good stuff going on out there right now in the world of NHRA Championship Drag Racing. I just can't wait to get started.
I agree, but first we've got this little thing called New Year's. What does Alan Reinhardt do for New Year? Do you wait for, like, the stroke of midnight and then fire up the Stang?
You know, I honestly don't know. As at this particular point in time, I don't have any plans. The past couple of years, I've tried to find something if I was going out where I didn't come back. You know, either last year I did a live dinner theater thing where went, checked into the resort, did the deal, dinner, the show, the toast at midnight, all the routine, but didn't have to be on the roads afterwards. You know, for a few years here in Tucson, they used to have a big jazz festival, which they had some real big-name headliner jazz acts that would come in, and it was the same thing. You go check into the resort at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, have dinner, have deal, enjoy the music, and not have to leave. So I don't really have any plans right now, but hey, there's a couple of days left. Who knows what might come up between now and then.
There you go. Alan, thank you for making some time for us here today on WFO Radio. Great to hear that the Christmas party went well and getting ready for a little New Year's action. Then we'll get back into our regular swing of things, but thanks for your input and your thoughts on the 2014 season. It was great. A blur. It really was. It just went by so quickly, and not long from now, we'll be doing it all again. Thank you so much.
Joe, always a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you next year, if not before. And what are your plans for kicking out 2014 and welcoming in 15?
I agree with your general premise that I don't like to be on the roads. I agree with that, and for a myriad of reasons. So I believe I'm just going to do open house here in South Florida, and anyone who wants to come by, kind of like your Christmas deal, anyone who wants to come by and ring in the new year with me, they are welcome to. And if not, I get it. If they want to pass through, that's fine, but I will be here.
Right on. And do you have your first racing adventure for 2015 lined up yet?
The Pro Winter Warm-Up at Palm Beach International Raceway, where the preseason nitro test has become kind of a routine. I will be out there kind of checking out things and calling the action on Friday and Saturday night, as far as I know at this moment. And that will be the first whiff of nitro for 2015.
Right on, right on. Well, enjoy, and I will talk to you again next week, if not before.
It will be great. I'm very eager to see you in 2015, in a week.
Won't be long now.
Alan, thank you so much.
All right, Joe, talk soon.
Thanks, Alan. The NHRA's Alan Reinhardt joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. I love that conversation at the start of the show. We've got a great show. Courtney Force fans, this is where you should be each week to hear about NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. Courtney is coming up next. To talk with her about, like, how did it happen? I would imagine that people are very interested. How did it happen? What did Graham do? Where did it go down? All that engagement talk. That's kind of interesting. The macho guys on the show might not be so into it, or maybe they are. Who knows? But we're going to ask Courtney all about it just minutes from now. And maybe at the tail end of the show, we'll throw out what I deem to be one of the best interviews we did here in 2014. Tony Schumacher, right before the countdown. Just a little bonus here on WFO Radio. We got Courtney Live coming up next. But first, I want to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. This is something you need to plan on for 2015. Plan on it. The Dragster Adventure. Have you driven a dragster? Have you driven a dragster recently? Have you felt what it's like to accelerate from 0 to 120 miles per hour? 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. Go to frankhawley.com right now. Check it out. This can be you. Side-by-side racing, you, your group, your team, a media day, ride-and-drive events, team building, work outings, bachelor parties, you and your guys, high school buddies, getting together, doing the Dragster Adventure. I assure you, it's something you'll remember for the rest of your life. This is something you'll be talking about, and there's a very good chance that you'll want to do it more. Maybe you're thinking about buying a dragster, and you want the experience before you make the investment. This is the best way to do it. 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. And if you call them and you want to do it, they will even break up the payments into 4 easy payments to make it something that you can spread out over time. 866-480-7223. Be sure to tell them you heard it on WFO Radio. And next thing you know, you could be on your own dragster adventure. That's frankhawley.com. We'll be back with Courtney Forrest, graduate, by the way. Pretty important. Number 4 in the world in Mellow Yellow Funny Car, Courtney Forrest, coming up next, right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Hey race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. The summer is over. The holidays are coming. The winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. What's up, NHRA fans? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking of yourself. Joe, you did a show between Christmas and New Year's? Are you crazy? And the answer is yes. We know that the NHRA fans out there want to keep up with their favorite drivers, and they want to listen to something for an hour and a half, 2 hours, even between Christmas and New Year. So who do we get as a guest? I got an idea. How about one of the top funny car drivers out there in the world, Courtney Force, joining us right now. Courtney, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I am very well. How has the holiday season been going for you?
It's definitely been nice. I mean, it's great to have a little bit of an off season between, you know, the crazy race season. So I'm just enjoying some time up here in Tahoe with my family and getting ready to head back and, you know, start getting ready for the new season.
Do you have you had tons of media obligations during this period?
You know, it actually hasn't been too bad. You know, I've definitely done some interviews here and there, but nothing too crazy. It's been a pretty nice, relaxing time, and get to listen to Dad on the phone pretty much the entire trip, but it's been a lot of fun.
I'm just happy that you made time for the WFO radio audience. You could be out there, skiing or snow bunnying or doing whatever, and you're talking with us. Thank you.
You're welcome. We hit the slopes yesterday, so today's like my relaxing day to let my muscles ease, because it was a rough day. It was a lot of fun though. Hit the top of the slopes and snowboarded down a few times and just had a lot of fun with it. We couldn't get Dad out there though.
Probably a good idea. You know, keep him. Now, so you already kind of let the cat out of the bag. I was going to ask you, are you a skier or are you a snowboarder? And you said snowboarding already.
Yeah, you know, I learned to ski when I was a kid, but for some reason I just couldn't really pick up on it too well. I switched to snowboarding, still haven't picked up on it very well, but you know what, it's a lot of fun just to be able to go out there with some family, and Brittany tried to switch back over to skis yesterday, which was definitely fun to watch her struggle down the mountain, the hill once, and switch right to snowboard, so.
French fries, pizza.
Exactly. She was ski like we said, so it wasn't working out, and she didn't have the patience for it, so we switched right back on the board.
There you go. I can do the falling leaf on a snowboard, but that's just about it. But you're from California, so you get a chance to do that every now and again. I'm from Florida, so not so much, only every once in a while. So the elephant in the room, as they say, everybody knows, they want me to ask you, we want to talk about the pending nuptials. You and Graham been dating a while. You guys are now engaged to be married. That's got to be that's a big deal. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's still a little surreal, but, you know, I'm excited. He actually asked me when we were on a trip over for Thanksgiving. We were on a trip over to Italy. A lot of people think we got engaged in Paris, but it was kind of a three-stop trip. We, you know, we stopped in England because his stepdad's from there, and made a little mini vacation out of it. Went to Paris, France, and then the next day when we got to Italy is when he proposed on a gondola ride down the hill. So it was super, super romantic and cute, and it was a lot of fun. Got to call my whole family. I was a little bit in shock because I wasn't expecting it to happen right then, obviously, and called my family and friends back home. Was up till about 4 a.m., you know, calling people, but it was definitely a lot of fun, and it was very nice. So it was definitely cool.
Did you?
I think probably my first question was, does my dad know? Did you? I'm like, I had to make sure that he asked my dad before I got to say yes.
Wow, that, and he did? Did he?
Oh, yeah, he did.
So he went to John and said, you know, John, I would like to ask your daughter's hand in marriage. Like, that's Godfather stuff right there.
Well, it's funny because my dad, I think, kept trying to ruin it, not knowing why Graham wanted to talk to him, and kept at dinners. I remember him vaguely just being like, why does Graham want to hang out tomorrow? What does he want to do? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why he wants to hang out. I guess they went and got breakfast or something, but my mom covered his tracks pretty good because my mom knew what was going on, I guess. We had apparently Graham leading my dad to the very last thing before we left for the trip because he knew my dad was in the house.
Wow, very
yeah,
cool.
Drove us to the airport without ruining it.
It's so funny that was like the big thing. Now, when it started to happen, that moment that everybody talks about, the moment that he went to Jared moment, did you realize, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening right now. This is what's going on. Were you suspecting? Had Graham ever said anything that made you think that this was going to happen in the near future, or was this out of nowhere?
No, we definitely had talked about it. I knew it was going to happen in the near future, but I, for some reason, didn't expect it to happen on that trip. I thought if anything had happened, maybe over Christmas or something with my family, but I just didn't expect it to be in that moment. But when it happened, I knew immediately what was going on, and I was crying and everything, and he actually filmed it on a GoPro because he was sneaky about it, but it's pretty hilarious, but, you know, it was very romantic. He got down on one knee, even in a rickety boat, and didn't manage to drop the ring, so that was the good news.
Yeah, that's always very important. Graham, I had some limited interaction with him when I was doing the satellite show on the IndyCar side of things. Always has struck me as, like, just a good guy, like a pretty down-to-earth good guy. But now that he's been coming around the drag racing, he's always where you are. He's traveling. He's going way out of his way to make sure he's there with you. And I thought that was a really nice statement early on. Like, wow, Ray Hall is always around. And it was really nice to see. And the fact that you guys immediately, in my opinion, I'm labeling you racing's number one power couple because of the... Is that silly? Are you not racing's number one power couple? I think you are.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I mean, it's great, definitely having him as, you know, my number one supporter. I mean, he, like you said, showed it from the very start. I mean, with his busy schedule for IndyCar and then my busy schedule drag racing, it was very difficult. And living in two different states, it was very difficult to be able to see each other. But he definitely stepped up and went out of his way to pretty much fly to every single one of my races that he could make it to. And I did my best to make it to some of his. And, I mean, it was just, I think, a big thing that I noticed about him that I loved, that, you know, he's going out of his way and really proving himself and supporting me and kind of showing that, you know, I was his number one focus and priority to, like, make it there to support me at my races, which was a huge deal to me because, you know what, there's not a lot of guys in this world that can do that and that are willing to do that. It struck me well. This is a good thing.
Absolutely. Do you have a time set? Do you have a date set when you want to do this, or is it still kind of developing?
We don't have an official date set, but, I mean, with our schedules, putting them together, it's kind of limited. So we got to really just pick and choose and see what works and what venues work and where. And we've kind of taken the time off to just research up here in Tahoe on the internet and everything. So I think when we get back, we kind of have to crack down before this season starts because I definitely don't want to stress about it at all. But luckily, my sister Ashley's kind of taken over as wedding planner, so that's definitely been helpful.
There you go. You've got an in-house wedding planner. All right, I'm going to throw some dates out. You tell me what you think. Okay. How about September 7th?
I think that is right around Indy. So.
That is exactly Indy. I'm
pretty
sorry.
Sure. Yeah, that's the one. I know my friend last year got married on the 10th, and that was the weekend after Indy. But, yeah, the 7th this year, I believe, is right on the dot.
Yeah, I picked exactly the finals day of the Chevrolet Performance U.S. National. Okay, how about November 15th, finals day of the Auto Club Finals? No?
Definitely won't work.
That's not going to work. All right. It's got to be.
Definitely looked into that, and yeah, that's. We all know that's the final weekend.
It's got to be difficult because to take your schedule and overlay his schedule on top of it with all the IndyCar, like you can't do May. You know, the month of May is pretty much out.
Yeah, it's a little stressful because I'll finally, you know, find a weekend and then I look over at his schedule and obviously he's racing somewhere else. So it's definitely going to be hard, but I think it'll make it that much more interesting and fun and special. But I'm sure it'll be difficult, but we'll figure it out and find the date.
Absolutely.
I'm not too worried about it.
Absolutely. And you can always go to the, you know, the Justice of the Peace down at City Hall and just knock it out. Oh, I didn't say that. I'm sure the family members don't want to hear that.
My parents would kill me.
I'm sure they would. And now they're going to kill me. Well, I think that is great news. I am very excited about it. Congratulations on that big moment in your personal life. And, you know, obviously, I wish you great success. Let's talk a little racing. Looking back, 2014 finished fourth in the points standings. How do you feel about your season?
Definitely think we had a great season. You know, I think we had a pretty consistent car. Then we had a little bit of a struggle for a period of time. Then we came out at the right time at the countdown. Making it in the countdown, you know, we fell a few spots when we went into the countdown at the championship. But then we went right off the bat, won two races back-to-back, and then kind of... just kind of fell short of it all. I mean, we went out in the first round, I think the rest of the countdown, and obviously that wasn't the plan, but you know, it made me realize that we can still finish fourth if we just had picked up those two wins and struggled the rest of the time. I mean, it definitely made you realize that, man, we have a good shot at it next year. I mean, with the struggles that we did have, I kind of look at it as, I don't think that's going to happen again. I think that was just really bad luck and just a big struggle on our part. But I think, you know, I've got a good team with me and great crew chief, and I know that we can get this thing turned around and just focus on that consistency and really just going more than first round throughout the countdown. I think we could have a pretty good shot at it next year. But honestly, being able to finish fourth for all of my sponsors and my team for Traxxas and for Castle and Ford, you know, for the last season with them, I mean, it's definitely, I'm proud of my team. I'm proud where we ended up in the fourth position, and I'm excited to put the number four on my car next season. I'm definitely proud of it, but I know that we can continue to improve, and I think, especially after this season, I have high hopes that we can definitely tie up the championship next year, and I really have faith in my guys that we can do it.
Well, that is a great, just watching from afar, seeing from the beginning how it has gone, and you definitely have, I always marvel at your intensity as a driver, the fact that you can have a conversation like this casually, you know, get in the car and at the finish line, once you get out after the turnoff at the top end, that, you know, that intensity just spills over. We saw it a few times over the course of the season, positive things happening, winning the 100th win for a female driver in the NHRA. That was a major milestone, obviously. Winning, losing in the countdown, that kind of stuff. Can you sit back during this offseason and say to yourself, when you reflect on the season, I need to increase my what? Intensity, focus. What can Courtney do? You know, you got the guys there, the car's the car, the brain trust is already there, your dad's working on manufacture. I will ask you about that in a second. But when you think about what you can do for yourself to make yourself better, what do you think about?
I think everything rolled into one as a driver. You know, there's never just one thing to focus on. I mean, you have to have your focus on everything all at once. And, you know, it's having the passion and the drive for it and just focusing on, you know, whatever the track is that weekend, the conditions, know the lane, know what's happening in that lane before you. If you need to pedal your car in the first round, I mean, be on the edge of the seat and know what to expect and really just push yourself. I think from a driver standpoint, for sure, I'm always just every year trying to get better at pedaling and trying to improve my life and be more consistent. But I think consistency is definitely key. I think that's the number one thing you need as a driver and as a team, and just being able to work together as a team and support each other.
How involved or shielded were you from the turmoil that occurred at the end of the season with you know, crew members, crew chiefs, integral parts of this racing operation / family that you have been a part of for so long? Moving on, all that stuff that was going on, the big press conference that your dad had. How much was that a factor in your countdown?
I mean, I don't think that was a huge factor in my countdown. Obviously, that's a whole different team. It didn't affect my team at all. So we just kind of, it was unfortunate for sure, I think from a whole team standpoint, but my Traxxas team in particular, didn't screw any of us up. I mean, we had to just push forward, and it was definitely, obviously, unfortunate for the teams, but, you know, we just move on and keep going. My dad continued to do well, which, I think is great, and we, you know, pushed forward. Obviously, we struggled a little bit, but it had nothing to do with the fact that, you know, all of that went down. So, I try to stay out of it. You know, it's not really, my business and don't want to stick my nose in it. So, try to stay on the outside and just focus on my team.
I think that is a great attitude, and if, you know, it's a chaotic world, in the world of drag racing, that is for sure. I mentioned the manufacturer, of course. That's something that is still kind of floating out there. People eager to wonder, to think. You know, it's amazing to think. We're talking off-season. It's not that far off. There'll be testing going on both here in West Palm Beach, Florida, and out west. And next thing you know, the Winter Nationals are right around the corner. We're wondering what kind of body is going to be on Courtney Force's car. What will that manufacturer be? Do you know for sure yet? Is that still being worked on?
I can't say anything for sure, but definitely going to be looking good for next year is probably all I can say.
Going to be looking.
I'll have to wait for my dad to do any announcements in the near future.
I understand that. I've got to ask. You understand that? I've got to ask. But
we're excited for the coming season. That's for sure.
Well, that's good though. I like it. That was a good tease because I'm like thinking about what you said and I'm thinking. Well, that sounded positive.
It
sounded like positive.
It definitely is. It's definitely positive for our team.
Well, that is great stuff. And what about preseason testing? Do you have a schedule already made up, or are you still waiting to see where you're going to go?
Still waiting to hear where we're going. Obviously, that's not my decision. So, you know, I wait for the call, and then I head there.
There you go.
You know, I think right after the new year, I think that's when everything kind of gets set in, and we'll know for sure.
What about New Year's plans? What has Courtney got planned? You're going to be in the Tahoe area for the change from 2014 to 2015?
You know, I think we were going to, but we've been up here for a little while, so I think we're starting to think we're going to head back a little early and try to get organized for the start of the new year, because I don't want to be driving home after New Year and feeling the stress and everything of trying to get ready for, you know, getting everything organized and settled and everything for the new season. So kind of want to get home and get organized and just have some fun with my friends back home.
It comes quickly. It's amazing how the drag racers are almost more busy in December preparing or wrapping up the previous year. There really is no off season.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely insane that it's already finished and over with, it feels like, and getting ready for the next season. I mean, it's crazy how fast it goes. But then again, some people kind of sit around and we're all eager to get back in the car. So kind of works both ways, but it's definitely nice to get a little break for a little bit to enjoy the holidays. And can't wait to get back in my race car.
We love being able to entertain the NHRA fans who are listening to WFO every week, even through the off season. We've had some great guests. I really appreciate in between the two holidays, such a tough time to get anybody to come on any show anywhere, unless we're talking the NFL, for you to come on, share the news about the proposal, about the nuptials. I really appreciate that. I'm sure the WFO radio audience is really happy to hear you on the program. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, of course. Thank you for having me.
It's been a great time. And obviously, as any news develops, we're going to ask you back. And it's crazy. It's right around the corner. 2015, start of the season. Everybody is tied for the points lead.
Yep. Can't wait for it to all start over again. It's going to be an interesting season.
Courtney, happy new year to you and your family. Congratulations, you and Graham. Thanks for coming on the show. And have a great time out there in Tahoe.
Thank you very much, and happy new year to you and to all the fans out there. We'll get ready to get the season going and see you guys at the racetrack.
Courtney Force with us here on WFO Radio. Star power, baby, here on the WFO Radio NHRA Nitro Show. And if you're that guy who just got his iPhone 6 or Galaxy 11, whatever, and downloaded the WFO Radio app to see if you could hear some NHRA interviews, how about that? That's what we bring on WFO Radio. And everybody has been clamoring about the show over the past year. Don't forget to subscribe. You can download the app. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can listen on your computer. We've got all kinds of social media, Facebook, Twitter, all that. We'd love to have you on board. Courtney Force with us here on WFO Radio. Now I want to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, baby. Coffee, WFO Radio blend, the spice rub, the habanero hot sauce, it's all in there. And Marvin has said he'll do the WFO holiday pack deal till the end of the year, which means you still got a chance, but not much of a chance. This is the time is tick, tick, tick tocking away. And you got to get in there. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give them a call, 817-924-6821. That's 817-924-6821, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. They make the WFO radio blend, but they've also got 40 unique coffees. They do micro lots. They've got the Sumatra Kopi Luwak. If you're a coffee file, meaning someone you really like coffee, give Marvin a call because he can set you up with something that you maybe have never even tried or heard of. 817-924-6821. Tell him you want the WFO Holiday Pack. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine, published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com. The leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Welcome back to WFO Radio. Joe Costello back with you. Final segment, special show, Courtney Force, the star shining bright on this program. And all you Courtney Force fans, thank you very much for checking out our show or podcast. You can download the free WFO Radio app for iOS or Android, your new iPhone, your iPad, whatever device you have. You can listen on Stitcher, TuneIn. We interview the winning drivers every week. When there's no winning drivers, we pick a story and we cover it. It's a lot of fun. And we enjoy talking with these racers. So thanks to Courtney for coming on the show. Now, since we are in between Christmas and New Year's and all the WFO audiences, they listen right through. And they are ready to respond, push notifications. We want to make sure that everybody gets their freeness worth. And so I wanted to include on this show one of the interviews that I think is a blockbuster. Something that when it happened on this show, I felt like, wow, that's a put up or shut up kind of moment right there. Will it happen? And it did. It happened. And it was Tony Schumacher when he came on the show before the countdown started. Before the start of the countdown. All right, Tony, how's it going to go? Seven time. And he said flat out, we are the car to beat. We are going to win. It's going to happen. Here's how it went. We are getting ready for the NHRA countdown. That's right. If you're a first-time WFO radio listener, just logging on and maybe doing some searching for some extra countdown coverage, you've come to the right place. We encourage you to subscribe to WFO Radio and listen each week because you're going to hear the winners. Now, in this case, we are previewing the Pep Boys Carolina Nationals at ZMAX Dragway. Hopefully, you'll get out there. I'll be there. It's race one. Joining us now, Tony Schumacher, driver of the U.S. Army Top Fuel Dragster. Tony, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fantastic.
Ready to go. All right, we're getting ready for another countdown, and you're getting ready to run for another championship. But before we get into the whole ZMAX Dragway thing, I want to go back a week to the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, where you won $100,000, and the track's a shootout. Huge success on the weekend, and then on Monday came up a 1,000th of a second short on winning a record 10th Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. How are you looking back at that event?
I'm a little angry. You know, it's, you don't get those chances all the time. I mean, we had a chance to go out and do it, and I was just driving extremely well, and the car was so fast, and then we got to that third round, and I dropped the ball a little bit, car slowed down a little bit, and the other team did a fantastic job, did exactly what they had to do, you know, and just got beat, you know. And it's a good lesson for me. It's a good lesson for the kids watching racing. Yeah, everyone doesn't get a trophy, buddy. It's just only the winners, man. Only the person that gets the job done. And you can get close and you can try hard and put a lot of the effort out, but you don't win everything. It was humbling. And, you know, we had the car for the weekend, and we just a thousandth of a second, two cars making 10,000 horsepower, and we lost by a thousandth of a second.
That's one that stays with you for a long time. Is this something? I know you've won, obviously, more races in Top Fuel than anyone else. You've won more championships in Top Fuel than anyone else. But it seems to me when I talk to racers, they really remember the really close races that they lost.
Yeah, I remember the really close ones I won, too. You know, I think that those are by far the most gratifying. Whether you win them or lose them, believe it or not, we know we're going to lose some. I mean, it's just a fact of... We've won more races than anyone in the history of the sport and Top Fuel, but we've lost way more than that. You know, it's a fact. It's not 50-50. You know, you show up and there's some other great cars. You're going to get beat by 50. There's 15 other good cars racing and you. So you're not just going to go out there and win them all. You just got to figure out how to win the ones that are absolutely mandatory and very important to win the championships.
The championship starting off at ZMAX Dragway, and the reason you are on the show with us, obviously we love speaking with you, but the Pep Boys NHRA Carolina Nationals, a race that we're hoping to encourage our listeners to get out there and see it in person. This is a two-wide drag race, and I don't know that you can win the championship necessarily right here, but you can definitely put yourself at a huge detriment to winning the championship without at least a decent performance.
Absolutely. If you go out there and make mistakes... You got a long shot at doing anything but finishing in the top five. So you got to close the deal, man. You know, it's something that our team's been the best at. When it absolutely, positively must be done, we're good at that moment. And I think it starts right there in Charlotte, dude. ZMAX is the place to get it going. Bruton-Smith builds us a beautiful track. It's getting late in the season. The weather conditions are going to start coming towards the big horsepower cars, and I'm driving as good as we've driven in a long time. So, you know, all we can do is show up and bring an A game. For the kids listening, A plus, buddy. Go out and learn how to get that A plus in school, because school will end and you will have to have figured out by then how to get an A plus at the next thing. And if you can't figure out how to study for a simple test on a day where your teacher told you you were going to have it and told you where the answers were, how are you going to study for something like this? Man, this is huge. What we have to do and what we're being asked to do is incredible and requires everything you have to offer and a little more. And it starts right now. It starts in young kids in school. Figure out how to get past that test first.
It's interesting that I've been interviewing you for a lot of years, and I've noticed you've always been motivational ever since the U.S. Army deal, and you always bring an extra level, not just about the racing, but you kind of weave it into daily life and how, if you're successful on the racetrack, you can be successful in life and business, and that it's the same things that make you successful: determination, working hard. But in the past couple of years, I've noticed you really targeting young kids, people in school. You mentioned taking a test. Listen, I was in school. I didn't do great on every single test, but I did pretty well. But I could have done so much better, because the teacher did tell me exactly where the answers were, and I guess I could have gone and looked at them and prepared a little better and could have done better. I think most kids feel that way when they get older. At that point, it might be a little too late. What is inspiring this, what I would call maybe a sustained campaign directed towards the children out there? Like, hey, do better. Do better. You can do better.
You know, I just have learned over the 15 years that, the last 15 years that, the people you surround yourself with, right, are so important. And, you know, if you get around a group of idiots, you're going to get stupid. And if you get around a group of engineers, you learn engineering. It's a simple thing in life. So, you know, at a young age, I wish I could have gone back and got better grades. I really wish I could have lived my life backwards. And would I want to end up in the same place? Absolutely. I would just rather be smarter and sit in the same seat. I mean, I knew we had tests, and I just had more important things to me that I thought were important. And now that I have kids growing up, I remind them of that every day. Guys, I know you got a football game and a date coming up, and all that's important, but this test is more important. It's going to last forever. It's going to judge. It's going to decide, determine, and everything where you go. And if you learn at a young age to take tasks that are more difficult, figure it out, life is fantastic. If you're broke the rest of your life, you're going to hate it. If you skip those tests, skip preparation, don't learn simple rules in life, you're just going to be miserable. And I just learned it through being around people. You can walk up and have a conversation with someone and knew which path they took, right, or know which path they took right away, just chat. You know, and over the years, I figured that surrounding myself with the right people wins me championships, does the right thing, it helps me along. And pass it on, man. Pay it forward, you know?
I totally get it, and I feel the same way. Not that I did bad in school, but I certainly could have done better, without a doubt. But as you said, sometimes it takes someone else from the outside to just shake you out of that. And hopefully some kids out there are listening, because that is great advice. Now, your team this year, obviously you know how to win championships, but it has been a little while. That having been said, it looks like you guys are running your best at just the right time.
You know, absolutely, and there the time of five championships, six, seven in a row, that's gone. Like, for me, for everybody, there are too many good cars. When we did that, we were a great car, myself, Alan Johnson, and that team, and there was everyone else was fighting for a second. It was different. Now there are 10 teams all capable of winning a championship, at least six, and so the battles are monster. They're huge, and as hard as it is for me to take, it's life, you know, and as much as I have to understand this, and the fans, they get the benefit of all that, because you go to a race, you pay money to go to a race. This is my entertainment dollar. I'm going to spend it here. You're going to come to a drag race. The last thing you want to see is one car win everything, and just you're just wondering who's going to finish second. You want to see a battle, you know. You want to see gladiator stuff, and you know, at the end, someone wins and someone loses. That's what we show up for, you know. And every now and then, a car's upside down on fire. That's kind of cool, too. But, you know, as long as it ain't my car, by the way. But it's life, you know. And people want to see that intense bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, full count moment. And every race is like that now. It's just the best. it's the best top fuel season I've seen in a long time.
I would agree completely. It is wide open. There is no favorite. Obviously, Doug Coletta, a respected nemesis of yours. You guys have been battling for years, having an absolute breakout year. Your teammate, Antron Brown, who won the 2012 championship. He is running very well. You guys are running very well. The Alanabi cars are capable of winning any race on any given day. So what is going to be the determining factor, you think, six races from now? Will it be just consistency? Will it be making decisions based on weather at that critical time, the crew chief taking a little weight off or getting aggressive at a moment that is a big moment? Will it be consistent driver reaction times, or what I think you're going to tell me, a combination of all of these?
A combination, and for one reason. And you left one out.
Yes?
Timing. I lost in Brainerd by 0.005 of a second. If I had the reaction time I had the run before, I would have won. And if I switched them, you know, I would have won both rounds. And sometimes people take shots against me, and I have perfect lights against cars that smoke the tires. And then the next round, I have a medium light against a car that runs the low ET of his career, because that's what they have to do to beat us. So it's timing. You got the right place, right time. Indy was the same thing. I had a 44 light the second round, and then in the third round, I have a 72 light. If I could have won with a 72 light in the second round, it was easy. Third round was just hard. You know, it just, the guy did what he had to do to beat me, and it's timing. It is literally so important. The right car, the right light at the right time. You can smoke the tires sometimes, as long as the other guy does too. You know, I mean, you can win these things. So timing is incredibly important, and it's won us championships. 06, Doug Coletta gets beat on the last run of the year. We win the championship by setting a world record. He gets beat by Melanie Troxell, who, he's got a 50 reaction time, a great light. She's got a solid guess. That's it. And she beats him, and we go on and win the championship. Now, he's driving like a machine, doing a great job. That cost him a championship. Who, he would have beat anybody else. She just took a guess, you know. What I got to appreciate that. She won me a championship and a lot of respect. But, you know, she'd have beat everybody else. Just timing.
It is a cruel sport, but yeah. Everybody loves that aspect of it. It definitely does make you rise to the occasion. Three-day passes, just $99. You're talking about entertainment value. You are a fan of Major League Baseball. You're a fan of regular mainstream sports. The fact that a dad in the Carolina area can take his 12-year-old, or actually 13-year-old son, to 3 days of entertainment for $100, it's $33 a day, to me, the value argument is tremendous.
It's the best value for your dollar in any sport. It's a fantastic thing. And the kids learn because they're watching right up close excellence. Not in the drivers and crew. They're gonna, you know, everyone gets to see the drivers. You watch the race, it's great. But to watch the crew take a 10,000 horsepower engine apart and put it back together in, you know, 25 minutes, you're wobbling, and you were gonna learn from it. That's it. You're gonna see kids that are not much older than them go out and do this job that would seem impossible, but they get it done because they work together. And I think whether you're trying to learn or not, then you're going to learn good, positive things. It's a great life lesson out there at the races. Good, clean fun, and a monster battle this weekend. So get out there. Spend your $100. Come out and watch this race.
Absolutely. It is going to be great. Plus, I'll be there too. Woo!
Sounds good.
Tony, John Force is going through this big sponsor hunt, and obviously John has meant a lot to the sport. But you have meant a lot to the sport as well. You're running real well right now. I'd say you are in the absolute top tier of teams, and you've lost some really close races this year. But my thought, watching you go through the U.S. Nationals and knowing how different that race is, especially to you, trying to win that 10th, and thinking to myself this thought, and I'd like you to elaborate on it, you know, how many more opportunities is Tony going to have to get that 10th or 11th or 12th? How long are you going to do this? These kind of thoughts, I don't want you to announce your retirement here on the show, but you look at a guy like Force, who has done it his whole life into his 60s. Is that a model you see yourself following, or is it going to be more of a transition at some point? When we watch Tony Schumacher, what should we be thinking about?
I I wish I could answer that for you. I just love what I do. I'll keep doing it till I don't love it. You know, honestly, John Force does it because he's the leader of that team, and he's got to keep going. I do it because I love the sport, and I can't think of what I would rather do. As soon as I think of something I'd rather do, and I'm going to go try to golf here. So if I go out there and shoot a 52, I'm going to be a pro golfer next week because those guys make some money, you know. But and you can, I can enjoy that. What I won't do is take an office job that'll make me crazy the rest of my life just because it's not my personality. Everyone's got their special thing, you know, and I think I'm good at what I do. When I become not good at it, and there will be kids that grow up and start beating me, then I'll start thinking of a different job.
Tony, I want to thank you for coming on WFO. You know, normally, we have you on after a win. This is a deal for ZMAX Dragway. Of course, you can get your tickets right on our website by clicking the banner ad or going to ZMAXDragway.com. They got some great specials. If you bring the Mellow Yellow can, you even get a bigger discount, which is unbelievable how easy you can get into that racetrack. Right in the heart of NASCAR country, but the NHRA countdown playoff system begins right now. And, Tony, final question. Six races from now, what are your expectations?
Hold the trophy up. The other 10 or other 9 guys going for a championship, nobody would want to race the Army car right now. It's the best car out there. And there are other cars that are extremely good. Our car is just the best at this point, at this time. And it's the perfect time to be getting great. And we are the team that is under pressure, ice cold. So that being said, let's get out there and prove it.
Tony Schumacher with us here on WFO Radio, and all you very astute WFO listeners are probably saying to yourself, hey, Joe, you haven't had him on since he won the championship yet. And that is true. I would love to say it is absolutely by design, and so I will. We have decided that we want to start off 2015 in a big, massive way with Tony Schumacher talking about his championship in 2014. So that will be coming up in coming weeks on WFO. You don't want to miss that because we're going to play back some of these quotes. But I thought that was just a big-time step-up interview by Tony Schumacher. Here's what's going to happen. This is what we're going to do. And they did it. You don't hear that too often. It doesn't always happen. It happened right there. And one thing I like to do and encourage all you new listeners, if you're new to the show, spend some time on the website. Check out the interview archive. Just right now, you can go in there and you can see Clay Milliken a couple weeks ago introduced his brand new team, and Austin Williams, Christian Bird, Jack Beckman, Leah Pritchett, and Terry McMillan will be in there very soon, as maybe even at the time you're hearing this. Those short clips will be up. Dave Connolly talking about running the Top Fuel dragster for Bob Vandergriff, and this is just in the past couple of weeks. So very interesting stuff in the interview archive, the regular show archive as well. And that is going to do it. Thanks to Alan Reinhardt for coming on the program and Courtney Force for coming on the program. Great to hear from Courtney. Big congratulations to Courtney. Good things happening for Courtney and Graham Rahal. Big thanks to everyone behind the scenes. This is the New Year show. This is the transitional show from 2014 to 2015. Some of you are listening in 2014. Some of you are listening in 2015. That's kind of weird, right? But it is happening. And since we are what they call time-shifted media, meaning there are listeners right now who are 2 months in the past, they are listening on their own schedule. What's up to you guys as well? Took you long enough to get here. You should be catching up by now. We're about to start the season. But the whole idea of WFO is that you consume it on your own schedule. 5 years into this great project that is WFO now. You can go back to 2009, see where we started, what we did, how we grew, what we're becoming, what we're shooting for. The WFO audience is the greatest part of that. We do the shows, you share the shows, you like the shows. You like the show? That's great, share it. Follow us on social media, follow our Twitter account. WFO shirts are in the WFO store. You can buy one. The Christmas ornament's a huge hit this year as the stock begins to dwindle, which is a good thing. We had a great season, went to more races in 2014 with the NHRA as part of the announcing team this year than ever before. Called my first Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals from first burnout to last burnout. ever in my life. That's a major personal milestone. I could rattle them off. I don't know that you're interested in that. This show is about the driver. But the Ignition show, that's where we'll do that kind of stuff. And I can tell you that we will have a great Ignition show this week. Myself, Giovanni Miami, we'll talk a little NASCAR, a little Formula One, and reflect on the season, both personally and in racing. I can tell you the WFO Radio Fantasy NASCAR League Trophy is back in the studio with all its named plates, and the winners have been honored, and it's absolutely tremendous. ColdHardArt.com, Tom Patsis, who is a fabricator for DSR, he is a metalworking artist, worked his magic on this trophy. The greatest thing in the world. But that is going to do it. Thanks to Alan Reinhart. Thanks to Courtney Force. Thanks to all of you, WFO Radio listener. Happy New Year. And we'll see you next year, right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.